When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dead America. Tales from the First Month. The List by Derek Slayton. Chapter 1. Day 0 plus 30. The morning unfolded with a gentle warmth, the sun painting the rural landscape with its golden hues. 5 miles outside the town of Plymouth, Indiana, Chester reclined in the back seat of his sedan, nestled under blankets with his head cushioned on a fluffy pillow. At 42, he was of slight build, finding solace in the quietude of the countryside, a good 5 miles away from anything resembling civilization, with only the empty highway slicing through the serene vista. As the sun ascended higher, its rays finally penetrated Chester's slumber, prompting him to stir. Blinking away the remnants of sleep, he reached for his glasses. "There it is, my vision returns at last," he murmured, his voice a gentle assertion of his newfound clarity. With a sense of purpose, Chester retrieved a folded sheet of notebook paper from his pocket, unfolding it with deliberate care. Before delving into the day's tasks, he reached for a cooler nestled on the front seat, stocked with water and energy drinks. "It's going to be a busy day. Better get that boost of energy to start things off," he said to himself. As Chester sat sipping his drink, he unfolded his paper, revealing a chaotic jumble of notes, some crossed out in frustration. Amidst the scribbles, 7 names stood out, 5 of which bore the satisfying mark of completion. The unchecked names, Karen Jenkins and Sebastian Wilson, drew his attention. Beside Karen's name, a questioning mark lingered, while the word Plymouth accompanied Sebastian's. A line traced its way from Plymouth to the bottom of the page, terminating at an address, 137 Elm. "Okay, looks like today we're going to finally track you down, Sebastian. We'll see how you fared in all of this," Chester muttered to himself. Folding the paper neatly, he tucked it into his pocket before stepping out of the car. The brisk air enveloped him, invigorating his senses as he stretched his limbs. A few minutes of light exercise helped shake off the stiffness of sleeping in the back seat once again. Returning to the driver's seat, he started the engine, his heart sinking as the fuel light illuminated. "Guess I'm making a pit stop first," he sighed, resigned to the detour. Chester eased the car along the deserted highway, his fingers dancing over the radio controls until a familiar tune filled the airwaves. With the carefree abandon of any other day, he joined in singing to the light rock hit from decades past, the melody a comforting backdrop to his journey. Approaching the outskirts of town, a gas station caught his eye on the right. Despite the lack of activity, 3 zombies roamed the area. "That doesn't look too difficult," Chester remarked. Halting just shy of the pumps, a safe distance from the nearest undead, he swiftly exited the vehicle, making his way to the trunk. Inside lay an arsenal fit for a war zone, assault rifles, shotguns, scoped hunting rifles, and enough ammunition to rival a military depot. Yet he bypassed these options, opting instead for a simple metal baseball bat. Closing the trunk with a decisive thud, Chester took a moment to limber up with a few practice swings, ensuring his muscles were primed for action. His gaze fixed on the closest zombie, now inching toward the front of his car. "Batter up," he declared. Chester approached the first zombie with casual ease, swinging the bat with precision, the satisfying crack echoing as it connected with the creature's skull, sending it crashing to the ground. A decisive follow-up swing ensured it remained motionless. "That one felt like a single. I think I can do better than that," Chester mused, a smirk playing on his lips. Resting the bat on his shoulder, he sauntered over to the next undead menace, which stumbled towards him from the pumps. Its clumsy footwork caused it to trip over the fuel hose, landing face first on the pavement. Chester shook his head in amusement before delivering a decisive blow to the back of its head. "That one was too easy, felt like a walk. But I have 2 on with nobody out, so it's not all bad," he remarked, his confidence unwavering. His attention then shifted to the final creature in the lot, looming by the front door of the store. A formidable opponent, standing over 6 feet tall, elicited a grin from Chester. "Oh yeah, I'm definitely swinging for the fences with this one," he declared. With calculated precision, Chester approached the towering ghoul, allowing it to lunge forward before sidestepping and delivering a powerful swing, shattering its knee and sending it crashing to the ground. Without hesitation, he circled around, delivering a forceful blow to the side of its head, snapping its neck and cracking its skull. As the undead creature collapsed, Chester tossed his bat into the air, mimicking the actions of rounding the bases, accompanied by cheers and applause as if he had just hit a home run. "And the crowd goes wild," he exclaimed, reveling in the imaginary adulation. Stepping onto the imaginary home plate, he retrieved his bat before making his way into the store. Just as he crossed the threshold, a noise from the back caught his attention. He turned swiftly, scanning the area, but finding nothing amiss except for a sealed back room. "And here I was hoping I'd get another swing. Maybe next time," Chester mused with a hint of disappointment. Chester reached behind the counter, snagging a couple of plastic bags before strolling down the aisles. With a systematic approach, he cleared the shelves of all remaining goods, tossing in candy bars, chips, and anything else edible. The second bag was filled with water and energy drinks, the practicality of his choices evident as he bypassed the soda and beer. "Plus, warm gas station beer sounds more like a punishment than a treat," he chuckled to himself. Passing the front cash register, his attention was drawn to a small pamphlet for the town of Plymouth. Opening it, he discovered a map highlighting all the town's hotspots, including the park and county museum. However, it was Elm Street that captured his interest, slicing through the heart of the town. "That makes life a little easier," Chester noted with satisfaction. Casually making his way to the back of the station, he located the generator and flicked it on. After refueling, he returned to the driver's seat. "Okay, Sebastian, let's see if we can find your house," he muttered. As Chester navigated the streets of Plymouth at a cautious pace, memories of its pre-apocalyptic population, once exceeding 10,000, floated through his mind. In the weeks since the outbreak, many of the undead had dispersed, undoubtedly wandering off after spotting a bird or other wildlife in the distance. A single sighting could set off a chain reaction, transforming a solitary ghoul into the leader of an undead conga line, drawing others into its mindless pursuit. Despite the dwindling numbers, a few hundred undead still roamed the town, but Chester paid them little mind, confident in his ability to dispatch them as needed. His primary concern lay with the survivors. Along his journey to locate the individuals on his list, he had encountered numerous fellow humans. Unfortunately, few were willing to offer assistance, with many displaying outright hostility towards his presence. Chester, however, was accustomed to such reactions. He shrugged off the animosity, adept at either ignoring or swiftly neutralizing the threat before continuing on his mission. As Chester maneuvered through the town, his gaze darted between the map and the street signs, attempting to reconcile the two. Finally spotting Elm Street, he made the turn, anticipation building as he edged closer to Sebastian's house. However, his hopes were dashed as he laid eyes on a horde of undead congregating just a few blocks ahead. Glancing at the house number next to him, displayed prominently as 437, Chester couldn't help but feel a twinge of disappointment. "Well, Chester, that just might be a little too much batting practice for you today. Don't want to wear yourself out too early," he muttered, resigned to the reality of the situation. After a moment's contemplation, he shifted the car into reverse, backing up a block before charting a new course down the next street. Peering down the road, he noted with satisfaction the relative scarcity of zombies, a manageable obstacle compared to the throng on Elm Street. "Now we're talking, I can work with this," Chester declared. Ensuring the coast was clear, Chester exited the car and popped open the trunk, sifting through his arsenal until he found a sizable brick of firecrackers. Stepping into the middle of the intersection, he ignited the fuse before swiftly retreating to the safety of his vehicle. With adrenaline coursing through his veins, Chester slammed his foot on the gas pedal, hurtling down the street past the awaiting zombies. They reached out futilely as the sedan zipped by, their grasps falling short. Reaching the far end of the street, Chester made a sharp turn and brought the car to a halt, positioning himself strategically just half a block away from Elm. Rolling down his window slightly, he listened intently. Moments later, the air was filled with the sharp cracks of the firecrackers, causing a cacophony of noise. There we go. Now I just need all of you fine folks to shamble off and investigate that strange new noise. I promise that it's something fun, Chester muttered with a wry grin. Chester reclined in his seat, rolling up the window and queuing up a high-energy light rock song on his CD player. For the next 4 minutes and 15 seconds, he transformed his car into a stage, belting out the lyrics with gusto and tapping out the rhythm on the steering wheel. In that moment, he was in his element, oblivious to the world's decay, as he reveled in the simple joy of music. As the song came to an end, he returned to the present, shifting the car into drive and approaching the intersection with Elm. Glancing down the street, he noted with satisfaction that the horde had taken the bait, shuffling away from his intended path. Nothing like some childhood favorites to keep them entertained, Chester quipped to himself, a smirk playing on his lips as he maneuvered onto Elm, proceeding cautiously to avoid drawing the attention of any stragglers. After a brief search, his eyes settled on the quaint house at 137 Elm. Its brick exterior and yellow window shutters exuded a charm that resonated with Chester, despite the slightly overgrown lawn. It was the kind of home he could imagine himself living in. "You look like you've done all right for yourself, Sebastian. Quaint little town, nice little mid-century house. Only thing missing is the white picket fence and 2.5 kids, Chester remarked, his voice tinged with a hint of humor. He paused, a realization dawning on him. "Of course I haven't been inside yet, so you might have those kids after all," he added with a chuckle. Chester parked in the driveway, noting the solitary car parked nearby. Stepping out, he scanned the surroundings for any potential threats but found none. With cautious steps, he made his way back to the trunk of his car, retrieving a handgun which he holstered, securing it to his belt. An assault rifle was slung over his shoulder, while a large knife and a crowbar were added to his belt. Closing the trunk with a little too much force, he realized his mistake. He looked down the street, spotting several of the undead, drawn back by his earlier diversion, now shuffling ominously in his direction. "Good job, Chester. Now, instead of taking your time, you're on the clock," he muttered to himself, chiding his lapse in judgment. Steeling himself, he redirected his focus towards the house. "Okay, Sebastian, let's see if you're home."
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Two. Chester strode up to the front of the house, peering through the window and catching sight of movement within. It wasn't swift, rather, it seemed sluggish and lacking coordination. One figure shuffled towards the source of the earlier firecracker noise. "Looks like I'm going in through the side door," Chester remarked. Retracing his steps to the driveway, he made his way to the door adjacent to the garage. There was no window to offer him a glimpse inside, so he pressed his ear against the door, attempting to discern any sounds from within. Despite his efforts, nothing reached his ears. "I know one way to find out," he muttered. With a determined grip, Chester thrust the crowbar between the door and its frame. Despite his slighter stature, he wielded the tool with practiced precision, honed over the past few weeks. This wasn't his first time leveraging the crowbar to pry open a door, and it certainly wouldn't be his last. After a few tense moments, the door yielded, as if Chester had simply turned the knob. However, before it could fully swing open, a creature emerged, shambling from the shadows. Reacting instinctively, Chester leaned back and swung the crowbar upwards as the zombie reached for him. The blow landed with enough force to snap the creature's arm in two at the elbow. Yet undeterred, the zombie persisted in its advance, its maimed limb dangling awkwardly. Maintaining his composure, Chester took a few steps backward to assess the ghoul before him. "You're not Sebastian, are you?" "Nope, a little too tall and a little too young," he observed with a sigh. With a determined motion, he swung the weapon across his body, connecting solidly with the side of the creature's head, sending it crashing to the ground. "If you're hanging out in the garage and your friend is inside, I'm starting to think that if Sebastian is here, he's no longer among the living, Chester remarked grimly. Chester stood still for a moment, weighing his options. He cast a glance down the street, spotting more zombies shuffling in his direction, though they were still a couple of blocks away. Well, I've come this far, I might as well take a peek inside. I figure I have a few minutes before company arrives, he reasoned aloud. With the crowbar held firmly in hand, Chester cautiously poked his head into the garage. It appeared mostly empty in the center, with an array of boxes and miscellaneous items piled along the periphery. Moving swiftly, he made his way across the cluttered space, reaching the interior door and testing the knob, which turned easily in his grasp. Okay, Sebastian, let's see if you're home, Chester muttered under his breath. Slipping through the door from the garage, Chester entered the kitchen. It bore the scars of a past conflict, with the table and chairs overturned and dried blood staining the walls and floor. Chester remained silent, his senses attuned to the faint sounds echoing through the house. In the distance, he detected the rhythmic banging of a creature at the far end of the hallway, while all else remained eerily quiet, both on the ground floor and above. Navigating through the living room, largely untouched except for a sizable pool of blood staining the sofa, Chester paid little heed to the ominous sight. Instead, he pressed forward, reaching the threshold of the hallway. His gaze locked onto the figure of a woman, identified as the source of the commotion. "You're clearly not Sebastian, are you?" he remarked dryly. His words drew the attention of the female zombie, prompting her to shuffle towards him, albeit at a sluggish pace, hindered by the gaping wounds marring her legs. Recognizing the futility of her slow approach, Chester met her halfway down the corridor, delivering a decisive blow to the crown of her head, swiftly neutralizing the threat. "Okay, a quick sweep through the house to see if I can figure out where Sebastian might have gotten to," Chester said. Chester methodically flung open doors, discovering a couple of undisturbed bedrooms that appeared to belong to children. Recognizing the limited relevance, he swiftly moved on. Ascending the stairs, Chester proceeded down the hallway, his footsteps halting abruptly as he passed a framed photograph. "There you are, Sebastian. Now, why have you been hiding from me this long?" he muttered, reaching out to retrieve the picture from the wall. In the image, Sebastian stood on the sidelines of a high school football game, adorned in a shirt bearing the logo of the local school, and sporting a full sleeve of tattoos on his left arm. "So, you were a football coach, huh, Sebastian?" Chester mused aloud. "Now I wonder, when all this kicked off, if you weren't at school and got stuck there." Pausing to contemplate the possibilities, Chester continued his train of thought. "A town this size, if the mayor or whoever panicked, it's possible they pulled everybody to the school, or..." Chester pondered the situation for a few more moments before shaking his head in resignation. "Well, it was a school day, and parents are notorious for sending their kids to school sick. It wouldn't have taken all that much to kick off the apocalypse during gym class," he muttered to himself. With a decisive gesture, Chester plucked the photo from the wall, allowing it to fall and shatter against the floor. Retrieving the damaged picture, he regarded it with a solemn expression. "If I were a betting man, Sebastian, I'd say that you probably ended up as Zombie Chow. But I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't go and investigate," he reflected, folding the photograph and tucking it into his pocket. Turning on his heel, Chester retraced his steps toward the stairs. However, his progress was interrupted by the sound of banging emanating from the front door. "Damn, looks like I burned a little too much time here." "No worries, it's nothing you can't handle, Chester," he reassured himself. Hastening through the garage, he paused at the door to survey the situation outside. A deep sigh escaped him as he observed half a dozen creatures shuffling across the driveway toward his car. Rather than succumb to panic, Chester exited calmly, crowbar in hand. "Come on, let's move away from the ride. Lost too many cars this month to running you assholes over. I'd rather not do it again," he remarked towards the ghouls in his path. The creatures redirected their attention towards Chester, closing in on him with sluggish determination. Among them, the apparent leader forged ahead, a few strides ahead of the rest, creating a slight gap between himself and the horde. Chester seized the opportunity, striding towards the zombie leader with his crowbar raised, not in a threatening posture, but rather held at chest level. With calculated precision, he positioned the crowbar in the center of the zombie's torso and delivered a forceful shove upon contact. Though the action inflicted no physical harm, the momentum was enough to send the ghoul stumbling backward into its companions. Like a chain reaction, the zombies toppled over one another, their limbs flailing as they crashed to the ground in a disorganized heap. Chester observed the spectacle with a satisfied grin, reveling in the sight of the uncoordinated creatures tumbling to the ground. "Watching you clumsy bastards get knocked over never gets old," he remarked with amusement. Chester allowed himself a smirk as he ambled over to his car, his gaze flicking back and forth between the front of the house and the advancing horde down the street. Despite the sizable group of 50 creatures converging on the yard and spilling onto the road, he remained composed. Casually tossing his weapons into the back of the vehicle, Chester climbed behind the wheel and started the engine. Glancing out, he noted that the nearest zombie was still a comfortable 15 yards away. Rather than hastily pulling out, he took a moment to fiddle with the CD player, selecting the perfect track. "Okay, got my traveling music. Now let's see if we can't find ourselves a high school," he muttered to himself. With a friendly wave to the approaching zombies, Chester shifted into reverse and maneuvered onto the road. He retraced his path, backtracking a few blocks before veering toward the heart of town. "Now, if I were a high school, where would I be hiding?" he pondered aloud. Chester paused at the intersection, casting a glance back toward the origin of the firecrackers, where 100 of those undead creatures milled about in the street. With none of them within 50 yards of his current position, he took a moment to ponder his next move. "There's not a whole lot around here, so near downtown wouldn't make sense. That would mean a hell of a lot of traffic during football games. So, outskirts of town it is then," he reasoned aloud. With a decisive press of the gas pedal, Chester accelerated eastward, heading toward the edge of town. Along the way, he noted with surprise the scarcity of zombies, encountering only sporadic clusters of the undead as he traversed the deserted streets. Approaching the downtown area, located a couple of blocks to the north, Chester slowed his pace, scanning the surroundings for any signs of resistance. However, to his observation, there were no barricades or fortifications in the storefronts, only a handful of zombies aimlessly roaming about. "Couldn't hurt to do a little window shopping," he remarked with a hint of amusement, intrigued by the prospect of exploring the eerily quiet downtown area. Chester navigated the turn onto the main street, the sound of his engine drawing the attention of a few wandering zombies. Ignoring their sluggish advances, he continued on his path, unfazed by their presence. Approaching the intersection in downtown, he scanned both directions, noting the scattered groups of about 24 zombies aimlessly meandering about. Their movements resembled those of window shoppers, devoid of purpose or direction. Opting to head east, Chester drove cautiously through the sparse congregation of creatures, weaving his way between them with ease. As he surveyed the desolate scene, he couldn't help but shake his head in disbelief. "It looks like this downtown area died long before the apocalypse," he remarked dryly, observing the vacant storefronts adorned with for rent signs. Among the few occupied establishments, an antique store stood out, resembling more of a hoarder's den than a legitimate business. The only fully functional business appeared to be the pharmacy on the corner. However, as Chester approached, his hopes were dashed upon seeing the shattered front window. "Well, that's a damn shame," he muttered under his breath. Chester brought the car to a brief halt just outside the pharmacy, peering past the zombies clustered within. His gaze swept over the barren shelves at the front, a telltale sign of looting that likely extended throughout the store. "Maybe there are some signs of life in this town after all," he mused. Reaching into a bag beside him, Chester retrieved a handgun, swiftly checking its readiness before stowing it in the cup holder. "Can never be too careful these days," he remarked with a nod. Chester pressed down on the gas pedal, resuming his journey eastward in search of the elusive high school, his senses heightened and his guard firmly in place. Chapter 3. Chester maneuvered his vehicle along the outskirts of the small town, his eyes scanning for any sign of the school's whereabouts. He breathed a sigh of relief at the scarcity of zombies along the perimeter roads, grateful for the ease of his journey. With a gentle roll of the window, he invited in a refreshing breeze, serenading himself with the melodies of his favorite tune, as if embarking on a leisurely Sunday drive. Several blocks to the north, an intriguing sight caught his attention. Nestled on the corner stood a house that stood out from its neighbors. Instead of the customary white picket fence, it boasted a makeshift metal barricade. The yard was dotted with parked cars, encircled by protruding rebar, each one serving as a trap for the undead. Several creatures hanging limp on them like rotting decorations. "Now what do we have here?" Chester mused aloud. He lowered the window a fraction more, ensuring safety from the grasping hands of any lurking zombies while allowing him a clear shot if needed. With cautious curiosity, he edged closer, scanning the street devoid of any immediate threats. His gaze then drifted to the imposing structure itself, a grand two-story brick house adorned with a sprawling wraparound porch on both levels. Impressed, Chester let out a low whistle. "Looks like somebody has some money." Chester brought the car to a halt, lingering in the driver's seat for several moments, his gaze fixed on the enigmatic house. He silently hoped for a sign of life within its walls, but the stillness persisted. Eventually, he shrugged, his resolve firming. "What the hell? What's the worst that could happen?" he reasoned aloud. He leaned on the horn for a prolonged moment before releasing it, the sound echoing through the quiet streets. He waited expectantly, minutes ticking by until a slight movement caught his eye. The flutter of a curtain near the front door. Seizing the opportunity, he extended a friendly wave in its direction. "Come on out now, I'm not going to bite," he called out. Moments later, the door creaked open, revealing Diane, a middle-aged woman, gripping a shotgun tightly as she stood on the porch. Behind her, obscured in the dimness of the doorway, lurked a couple of figures beyond Chester's discernment. Shutting off the engine, Chester emerged from the car, raising his hands in a placating gesture. Diane took cautious steps forward, maintaining a considerable distance but still within range for a skilled marksman. "Good morning, how are you doing today?" he greeted warmly. Diane's confusion lingered, her eyes darting down the street, scanning for any signs of danger, be it zombies or perhaps even hostile survivors. "You don't have to worry, I'm alone in every sense of the word. There's not one of those things for 5 blocks at least," Chester reassured her, his voice carrying a note of sincerity. With cautious steps, Diane approached Chester, her grip on the shotgun unwavering but never aimed at him. "You picked a hell of a day to visit Plymouth. I'm not sure if you could tell, but the town's closed," she remarked. Chester offered a wry smile, acknowledging her observation. "Yeah, I drove through downtown already. Looks like the only place of interest was the pharmacy, but they must have had a cell or something because the place was cleaned out." Diane's wariness persisted as she scrutinized Chester. "You ain't a cop, are you?" she asked. "I'm the furthest thing from it," Chester replied, his demeanor relaxed yet earnest. Satisfied with his response, Diane continued. "Yeah, I made a shopping trip down to the pharmacy about a week back. My boy was sick, and you know, a mother's gotta do what a mother's gotta do." Understanding her plight, Chester nodded empathetically. "I understand completely. And no judgment either. I'm doing what I gotta do too." Curiosity sparked in Diane's eyes. "And what is that exactly?" "I'm out here trying to find some people," Chester revealed. Diane couldn't help but let out a scoffing laugh at Chester's revelation. "Well, that's certainly one way to spend the apocalypse," she remarked. Chester shrugged, his expression conveying a sense of understanding. "Well, we all have to keep busy. I'm Chester, by the way." "I'm Diane," she replied curtly. "It's nice to meet you, Diane. So, I was wondering if you might be able to help me out," Chester continued. "As long as it doesn't involve giving you food or letting you into my house, I'm happy to do what I can," Diane replied. Chester chuckled lightly. "Don't worry, I'm well fed, and as fate would have it, I'm on a bit of a time crunch. All I need is a little bit of information from you." "Okay, what would you like to know?" Diane inquired. "Do you know where the high school is?" Chester asked. Diane's reaction was immediate, her eyes widening in alarm as she shook her head vigorously. "Chester, I can tell you that you absolutely don't want to go down there." Chester's resolve remained firm. I'm afraid I don't have a choice in the matter, as the person I'm looking for is most likely there. Who are you looking for? Diane pressed. An old acquaintance of mine, Sebastian Wilson, Chester revealed. Coach Wilson? Diane's surprise was palpable. How did you know him? We went to school together many moons ago, Chester explained. Diane's expression turned solemn. Well, Chester, while it's noble of you to check up on an old friend, I'm afraid he's probably dead. What makes you say that? Chester inquired. The school was a clusterfuck when all this started. If my boy didn't have a doctor's appointment, he would have been in the middle of it. I was driving to drop him off just before lunch, and it was horrible, Diane recounted. As Diane began to break down, overwhelmed by the memories, Chester swiftly intervened, his tone gentle yet firm. It's okay, Diane. I don't need details. If you can just point me in the right direction, I'll be on my way, he assured her, his voice a soothing balm to her distress. Diane hesitated, her resolve firming as she made a request. I'll tell you on one condition. By all means, Chester agreed readily. I heard those firecrackers you set off earlier today, and with you laying on your horn, some of those things are going to start coming up my way, Diane explained. Chester anticipated her request. I know what you're going to ask, and you have my word. When I get on the other side of town, I'll set off another couple of bricks of those firecrackers to pull them away from you. Diane couldn't help but acknowledge his astuteness. You are a sharp one, aren't you, Chester? I've been on the road for the better part of the last month, so I've learned a few things along the way, Chester replied modestly. In that case, the high school is on the west side of town, a block north of Main Street. It's huge, so you can't miss it, Diane directed him. I appreciate the info, Diane. Oh, can I ask you one more thing? Chester inquired politely. Go for it, Diane replied. How's your boy doing now? Chester asked. He's feeling a lot better, the medicine helped. But he's bored out of his mind. 10 years old and trapped in the house with no video games. It's rough, Diane admitted with a sigh. Chester pondered for a moment before a thought occurred to him. Hang on just a second. Chester made his way to the trunk of his car, flipping it open and sifting through the contents, which included an array of weapons and supplies. After a bit of searching, he retrieved a large black canvas bag buried at the bottom. As Diane observed with curiosity, Chester extracted a medium-sized box from the bag and carried it over to the makeshift barricade. Diane remained cautious, her eyes fixed on Chester's movements. What do you have there? She inquired. I spent a week just outside of Warsaw, not far from here. While I was there, I stumbled upon an abandoned RV dealership and found these portable solar generators, Chester explained, setting the box down on the hood of the barricade. Why worry about the grid when you can just make your own power? Diane watched as Chester placed the solar power generator on the barricade, maintaining her vigilance. I figured that they might come in handy, so I snatched a few of them up, Chester added. Diane hesitated before responding. That's very generous of you, Chester, but I can't accept this. Chester insisted firmly, his tone leaving no room for argument. You can and you will, Diane. I still have a couple more in my trunk, so I have more power than I need. Besides, you helped me out, so it seems like the least I can do is give you some peace and quiet in your house. You can sit out on your porch while your boy racks up the high score. Diane's eyes shimmered with gratitude as she gently lowered the shotgun. Thank you so much. I don't even know what to say, she expressed. You don't have to say anything, Diane. Just go enjoy time with your boy, Chester replied warmly. I will. Oh, and Chester, Diane called out as Chester began to turn away. Yeah, Diane, Chester said as he turned back. There's a maintenance shed beside the building by the football field. It should have a ladder tall enough to get you on the roof. The school installed skylights a few years ago, so you might be able to get a bird's eye view of some of the common areas, Diane offered, her tone earnest. I appreciate that, Diane. Good luck to you, Chester responded sincerely. Diane nodded appreciatively as she retrieved her brand new solar generator, a sense of relief washing over her. Meanwhile, Chester settled back into his car, starting the engine and steering towards the west. With the open road stretching ahead, Chester drove swiftly, maneuvering around a few stray zombies that lurched towards Diane's house. He honked the horn as he passed, prompting them to shuffle away from the vicinity. After a few minutes of driving, Chester reached the other side of town. With the edge in sight, he made a sharp turn southward, his anticipation mounting. As he navigated onto the side street, the football field came into view, situated about half a mile away. "Okay, now we're talking," Chester exclaimed, his eyes alight with excitement. Even the presence of several dozen zombies in the vicinity failed to dampen his spirits. Parking a few blocks away from the field's edge, Chester stepped out of the car, preparing himself for the impending challenge. He slung a scoped hunting rifle over his shoulder, grabbed an assault rifle, checked the knife and handgun on his belt, and finally secured the crowbar from the front seat, sliding it through his belt. "If I need anything else, I'm going to have to just come back for it," he muttered to himself. Chester stealthily navigated through the backyard of the house, moving southward toward the school. In the yard surrounding him, a handful of zombies roamed aimlessly, their movements erratic and unpredictable. Drawing his knife, Chester maintained a casual pace, dispatching the ghouls with precise strikes to the head as he passed by. 3 weeks prior, he might have approached with caution and uncertainty, but now, after countless encounters with the undead, lone zombies failed to intimidate him. Reaching the end of the row of houses, Chester took cover at the corner, pulling out his scoped rifle to survey the school grounds. "Okay, let's see what we're working with here," he murmured to himself. Scanning the area from the field to the building, Chester observed dozens of scattered ghouls, none forming groups larger than 3 or 4. A manageable threat, to say the least. His attention turned to the gymnasium, where only one set of double doors remained partially open, obstructed by a corpse. Despite his efforts, he couldn't ascertain what lay beyond. "We're just going to assume it's filled up," Chester concluded. Sitting in contemplation for a moment, he formulated his plan. "Okay, I get to the doors, shut them, clear enough of the mob to get up top. Sounds easy," he reasoned. Double-checking his assault rifle, he ensured it was ready for action before rising to his feet. "Okay, Sebastian, let's see what happened to you." Chapter 4. Chester emerged from the shadowed alcove of the house, his steps purposeful as he strode down the street, his destination clear the football field. Just as he approached the property's edge, a trio of zombies lurched toward him. Instead of confronting them, Chester deftly sidestepped, quickening his pace. Though his footfalls on the grass were muted, the zombies' moans reverberated through the still air. As his walk transitioned into a jog, more packs of undead turned their attention to him. By the time he reached the 50-yard line, a horde of about 30 zombies closed in from every direction. Luckily, the path to the gymnasium door remained relatively unobstructed. Dodging another couple of groups of zombies, Chester found himself faced with only half a dozen creatures standing between him and the doors of the gym. Despite the nearest zombie trailing him by about 10 yards and closing in, Chester halted his advance 20 yards from the gym. His gaze pierced through the horde shuffling toward him, fixing on the gym doors. Through the opening, he discerned the packed interior, swarming with zombies. "Yep, I called it," Chester remarked dryly. "If I had a dollar for every massacre like that, I could have afforded a comfy bunker to ride this thing out in." Remaining in place for several tense moments, he kept a vigilant eye on the approaching undead, ensuring they remained a few steps behind. Eventually, he shifted his focus forward, observing the zombies obstructing his path to the door. "Okay, you gotta time this right, Chester," he muttered to himself. He stood poised, awaiting the opportune moment to make his move. When it finally arrived, he burst forward, sprinting with all his might through the gap between the two packs of zombies. Confusion flickered across the undead faces as Chester dashed past, their groans echoing behind him as they swiftly gave chase. Despite their pursuit, he managed to create enough distance to reach the gym door. With quick reflexes, Chester seized the leg of the ghoul obstructing the door's closure, yanking it free. Glancing up as the doors began to swing shut, he noted that the zombies within barely acknowledged his presence. As the doors clicked shut, Chester maneuvered the zombies' limp form in front of the entrance, hoping to impede the mob's progress. though it wouldn't withstand the sustained assault from the horde within, it would buy him the precious time he desperately needed. As soon as the door was barricaded, Chester swung his rifle up, fixing his aim on the advancing mob from the football field. "Don't worry, I didn't forget about you guys," he muttered. With precision born of practice, he squeezed the trigger, each shot finding its mark with lethal accuracy. Zombies fell, one by one, their heads pierced by the rounds fired from Chester's rifle. In a trance-like state, he continued his assault, methodically emptying a full magazine into the oncoming horde. Though he had never been much of a fighter in his younger days, Chester had honed his skills through a decade of target shooting. His dedication had paid off handsomely, elevating him to victory in local competitions against seasoned ex-military and lifelong hunters. Now, his hobby proved invaluable in this life-or-death situation. As he swiftly replaced the spent magazine with a fresh one, the desperate pounding on the gym door by the trapped zombies reverberated in the air. "That's my cue," Chester declared. With determined steps, he hurried to the nearby maintenance shed. His eyes locked on the flimsy padlock, he dispatched it with a well-placed shot, shattering it effortlessly. Throwing open the shed door, his gaze fell upon the sturdy ladder propped against the wall. Without hesitation, Chester seized it, dragging it outside and positioning it against the gym building. Pausing briefly at the ladder's base, he glanced back at the gym door, which was slowly yielding to the relentless pressure from within. "I really should have piled a few more bodies up there," he mused grimly. With a heavy sigh, Chester hoisted his assault rifle over his shoulder and commenced his ascent. It took him a moment, but he eventually reached the rooftop just as he felt some movement on the ladder below. Glancing downward, he spotted a handful of zombies clawing at the base of the ladder, their futile attempts to dislodge it evident. Acting swiftly, Chester seized the top rung, lifting it off the ground. It required some effort, but he managed to hoist it onto the roof, effectively severing the connection to the ground. After exerting himself, he sank down for a moment, gasping for air. "I really need to work on that cardio. Maybe find a nice health club to hold up in for a few weeks. One with a spa would be nice," he quipped to himself, a hint of amusement in his voice. Chuckling softly, he allowed himself a brief respite before rising to his feet and venturing along the rooftop. Approaching the first skylight, he peered down into the gym below, emitting an impressed whistle. "Man, somebody did you people dirty." Chester shook his head in dismay at the sight below, where hundreds of zombies were packed into the gym. Despite the difficulty in discerning details amidst the mass of undead, the copious amounts of blood staining the floor were unmistakable. "Okay, let's see if I can find a smaller group to scout out first. I'd rather not be here all day if I can help it," he muttered to himself. Continuing his reconnaissance along the roof, Chester approached another cluster of skylights. Peering down, he beheld the lunchroom below, which was no less of a scene of carnage. Several bodies lay strewn across tables, their flesh mostly stripped from their bones, while pools of blood marred the floor. To his relief, the number of zombies present was significantly fewer, totaling around 60 to 70. "Now we're cooking," Chester remarked. Setting aside his assault rifle, he retrieved his hunting rifle, using its butt to shatter the skylight. Glass rained down upon the creatures below, eliciting an agitated response. However, the echo within the cavernous room befuddled them, masking the source of the disturbance. Taking a knee beside the open window, Chester peered through his scope at the zombies below. "Okay, Sebastian, let's see if you're in here." Chester dedicated several painstaking minutes to meticulously scrutinizing each zombie in the cafeteria below. Though he knew spotting Sebastian amidst a crowd of zombie bite victims would be like finding a needle in a haystack, he held on to hope that his distinctive tattoo sleeve would serve as a beacon. After exhaustive scrutiny, he reluctantly set down his rifle, unable to locate his target among the throng. "It figures you'd be in the gym. All these years later, and you're still not making it easy on me," Chester muttered wryly. Moving to the next skylight, positioned at the edge of the gym, Chester shattered the glass once more before settling into a seated position to survey the chaotic scene below. This time, the task proved even more challenging due to the sheer volume of zombies milling about. Hundreds of them, aimlessly navigating the space, collided with each other in their mindless quest for. something, even if they were oblivious to what it might be. After a considerable period of observation, Chester's keen eye caught sight of a potential candidate. "There's a tall guy with a tattoo sleeve. Let's take a closer look there," he murmured to himself. Focusing his attention on the forearm portion of the zombie's tattoo, obscured by splatters of blood, Chester compared it to a picture he retrieved, a smile spreading across his face as it matched perfectly. "Hello, Sebastian. What's it been, buddy? 25 years, give or take?" he greeted aloud. Realigning his sights on Sebastian's head, Chester refrained from pulling the trigger. "No, that's too easy for someone like you. And besides, it's a nice day out, so I'm going to take my time," he declared. Chester's gaze bore into the zombified form of Sebastian through the scope, his initial relief at finding him slowly morphing into simmering rage. "So, Sebastian, do you remember the first week of seventh grade?" Chester's voice carried a cold edge as he spoke, the memories flooding back with visceral clarity. "I'm still learning my way around the school, trying to figure out if my math class was on the first or second floor. When I turned to ask your girlfriend Karen where it was, you decided to answer for her by shoving me down the stairs." Chester's tone hardened with each word, his resentment simmering just beneath the surface. "Of course you remember. Nobody could forget a thing like that, right?" With unflinching determination, Chester adjusted his aim to Sebastian's shoulder. "That little shove broke my arm in three places. Spent the next 6 weeks in a cast. It took me an entire year before I was fully recovered. Let me show you just how that felt," he muttered through clenched teeth, his finger tightening on the trigger. The rifle discharged, the round tearing through the upper part of Sebastian's arm with brutal force, leaving it dangling grotesquely from its socket. For a fleeting moment, Chester savored the warmth of the sunlight on his face before another memory clawed its way to the forefront of his mind. "Oh yeah, do you remember that time in ninth grade when we were playing softball during gym class?" Chester's voice dripped with bitterness as he recounted the incident. "You were at bat while I was playing catcher? You ripped one out to center field that got away from my guy. The ball rolled all the way to the fence. You thought you were going to leg out an inside the park home run, but you weren't quite as fast as you thought you were. I had the ball in my glove when you were barely halfway home from third, but rather than head back or realize you were out, you ran straight at me and dove into my knee. It not only dislocated it, but it tore my ACL. And as I was laying there in excruciating pain, you and your friends were just laughing." Chester's rage surged momentarily before he reined it in, regaining control of his emotions. Adjusting his aim to Sebastian's leg, he fired a shot that tore through the kneecap, obliterating the limb and sending Sebastian crashing to the ground. "Yeah, it felt something like that," Chester muttered grimly. Peering through the scope, Chester found his view obstructed by a few intervening zombies. Determined not to lose sight of his target, he swiftly dispatched them with rapid shots, clearing his line of sight to the fallen Sebastian. "Hey, there you are. Thought I lost you for a minute," he remarked dryly. "Now, what other memories do I have of our time together in school? Oh, there are so many of you, your brother and your friends. Non-stop torment from seventh grade until graduation. Hard to imagine that it was 25 years ago. Where does the time go, right?" Maintaining his focus through the scope, Chester centered the crosshairs on Sebastian's head. However, before pulling the trigger, he paused, continuing his one-sided conversation. "Oh yeah, Sebastian, before we part ways for the final time, I thought you might like to know who else I've been visiting in recent weeks," he continued, his voice carrying a chilling edge. "Your brother Billy, for one." "Yep, tracked him down in Warsaw with those two alcoholic burnouts, Ken and Jean. Can you believe that? 25 years later, and those three were still hanging out together, still as big a burnout as ever. I mean, I can kind of get it. Losers attract other losers. In fact, the only thing that really surprised me is that they survived the first few weeks of the apocalypse." Chester paused for a moment, reminiscing about his encounter with Billy, Ken, and Jean in Warsaw, a faint smile playing at the corners of his lips. "I mean, to be fair, they probably would have been surprised that I had survived this long, too. If only they had gotten the chance. One of the great things about getting good with a weapon like this is that they never see it coming," he mused. With a steady hand, Chester readjusted his aim, the crosshairs now trained squarely on Sebastian's head. He paused one last time to address Sebastian. Oh, and even though you're the last person on Earth I'd ever do a favor for, I will pass along your well wishes to your old flame Karen. She's the next person on my list to go visit, he declared, his tone resolute. Just before he pulled the trigger, Chester noticed Sebastian's gaze, almost as if he had heard his words. Pushing aside the fleeting notion, he squeezed the trigger, sending a round through the head of the zombie Sebastian. A sense of satisfaction washed over Chester as he retrieved the list from his pocket, along with a pen. With a triumphant grin, he checked off Sebastian's name before glancing at Karen's entry. Beside it, he noticed the word Bloomington followed by a question mark. You know what? Today's been a good day. I'm going to sit up here and relax for a little while. Get a little sun before I head out. But don't worry, Karen. I'll see you soon. The end. 2 cents.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.